理课堂听 class.com。
Model Test 17. Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once.After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations. Question 11.You must be looking forward to your trip back to Colorado. It should be fun to hike up into those mountains again.
Well, there may not be time for that. The thing is, I haven't seen my sister and her kids for 3 years.
What does the woman imply?
Question 12. John, I'd like to talk to you about the way you come late every day. It disrupts the class.
I'm sorry, Professor. Didn't realize I was bothering anyone. I'll watch it from now on.
What will the man probably do?Question 13. Do you think this symphony is wonderful? I could listen to it all day.
That's interesting. You're the only one that feels that way as far as I know. I'm afraid that's not my cup of tea.
What does the man mean?Question 14. Hi, Jack. I just came back yesterday. Anything new while I was away?
Congratulations, Susan. It said you'll be promoted to manager and become my immediate boss.
What is the most probable relationship between the two speakers?
Question 15. I'm having trouble with this calculation. Do you think you could take a look at it?
Oh, I see. You're figuring out the interest rates. A piece of cake. I can sit down with you after my meeting.
What does the woman imply about the calculation?Question 16. Could you please tell me what room Robert Davis is in?
Yes, he's in the intensive care unit on the 4th floor. I suggest you check with the nurse's station before going in, though.
Where did this conversation most probably take place?
Question 17. John, they say you were quite successful in correcting the plan ahead of schedule.
Well, I would be on my way doing the job if it had not been for your help last year.
What can we learn from the conversation? Question 18. I really need more room. My apartment is so small, and even there's no spare space for a bookshelf.
Why don't you see the apartments in my building? You know, one of my neighbors is moving out.
What does the man imply? Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Oh, Julia, I was hoping to run into you.
Hi, Leo. What's up?
Well, we are thinking of going to the music festival, and we wondered if you'd be interested in coming along.
What music festival?
Didn't you know? There's going to be a big international musical festival here, with loads of famous names performing.
I'm not really keen on classical music.
Oh, it's not just classical music. There's all sorts. Just a minute, I've got the program here. Yes, there's world music from an incredible variety of countries. Scottish and Irish folk music, for example. West African percussion. Russian choral music, which should be fantastic. Indian classical music. I could go on and on. And then, if you're a jazz fan, there's a special jazz weekend, and also a whole day of contemporary music.
And rock music?
I'm afraid not.
Still, it sounds interesting. When is it exactly?
It's in June.
Oh, I'm going to be away the first week of June. I don't get back until the 15th.
Well, that's okay, because it doesn't start until the 13th, and we were thinking of going the following weekend. That's Saturday the 19th.
Great.
Anyway, it's on for a whole fortnight, so there'll be plenty of time to enjoy it. Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. Which of the following types of music will be performed at the festival? Question 20. When does the festival begin? Question 21. How long does the festival last? Conversation 2.
During the weekend, I've read an interesting book called Ants.
I like these teeny creatures very much. As far as I know, there are as many as 15,000 species of ants in the world.
Yes. Ants live in groups and divide their work, just as human beings do.
Really? In what way are ants like human beings?
In an ant colony, there are workers, hunters, nurses, and soldiers. There is also a queen.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah. The hunters hunt for food, the workers repair their nest or make new passages underground, the nurses look after the babies, the soldiers guard the nest...
And the queen lays eggs.
That's right. Each ant has its own work to do.
Which species of ants is the busiest?
The hunters, of course. They're forever running about and carrying food home to feed the others. If the piece of food is small, the hunter eats it and goes home to feed the others by regurgitating what it has eaten into their mouths.
I do admire them.
So do I. And there are another species of ants called harvester ants.
What do the harvester ants do?
They go about hunting for seeds to carry home to be stored for food.
But seeds will grow shoots and become plants. How do these clever ants keep the seeds from germinating?
It's a wonder to us. They keep their nests so dry that the seeds have no chance to grow shoots.
It's a miracle. But how do ants communicate with one another?
Oh, it's one thing that no one has yet been able to find out. Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. According to the conversation, how many species of ants are in the world? Question 23. In what way are ants like human beings? Question 24. What is the busiest kind of ant? Question 25. What do the harvester ants do?
Section B. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Visitors to Britain are always complaining about English food, but they do not really know what they are talking about because they rarely get a chance to eat it. Most of the restaurants in large towns have foreign owners and serve foreign food. When visitors are invited to eat in an English home, their host often feel they must offer them something foreign and exotic. Those of us who do know English food are aware that at its best it can be really good. On the other hand, it is true to say that it is sometimes terrible. Part of the problem is that we are not really interested in food. We eat to live. We do not live to eat. So we don't generally spend the necessary time and effort needed to cook really good meals. We prefer food that is simple and easy to cook, already prepared food, which only needs heating up before eating. You can find the best English food in the country, away from the large towns where life is slower and people are not in such a hurry. But of course, most visitors come to London. They come because they are interested in shopping and sightseeing. They do not come because of the food, so why should they complain about it?
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What does the speaker say about the visitor's attitude towards English food? Question 27. According to the speaker, which of the following is true? Question 28. Where can visitors find the best English food in England? Passage 2. Education is compulsory and free for every child in the United States. Most children start school by the age of 6. They attend 8 years of elementary school and 4 years of high school or secondary school. The money for free public schools comes from taxes, and each state is responsible for its own educational system. State governments set the educational requirements by leaving the management of the schools in the hands of the local communities. Most states require their children to go to school until a certain age. This age varies from 16 to 18 according to the laws of individual states. The American government gives money to the states for additional schools and school services. After graduation from high school, a student can start his higher education in a 2-year college, a 4-year college, a university, or a specialized professional school, either public or private. Most colleges admit students on the basis of their high school records. The cost of college education is expensive in private universities, but it is much less than those supported by states and cities. Many students receive scholarships from the schools, the government, or private foundations and organizations. More than 50% of the college students work to help pay for their college expenses.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. How many years do the children need to stay in school for elementary and high school education in America? Question 30. Who manages the schools? Question 31. Which kind of college education is less expensive? Passage 3. In its home country of Germany, the hot dog was called the Frankfurter. It was named after Frankfurt, a German city. Frankfurters were first sold in the United States in the 1860s. Americans called Frankfurters Dachshund sausages. A Dachshund is a dog from Germany with a very long body and short legs. Dachshund sausages first became popular in New York, especially at baseball games. At games, they were sold by men who kept them warm in hot water tanks. As the men walked up and down the rows of people, they yelled, "Get your Dachshund sausages! Get your hot Dachshund sausages!" People got the sausages on buns, a special bread. One day in 1906, a newspaper cartoonist named Tad Dorgan went to a baseball game. When he saw the men with the Dachshund sausages, he got an idea for a cartoon. The next day at the newspaper office, he drew a bun with a Dachshund inside. Not a Dachshund sausage, but a Dachshund. Dorgan didn't know how to spell Dachshund. Under the cartoon he wrote, "Get your hot dogs!" The cartoon was a sensation, and so was the new name. If you go to a baseball game today, you can still see sellers walking around with hot water tanks. As they walk up and down the rows, they yell, "Get your hot dogs here! Get your hot dogs here!"
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. Which country is the hometown of hot dogs? Question 33. When were hot dogs first available in the U.S.? Question 34. What is a dachshund? Question 35. Where did the name hot dog first appear?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
How to grow old. Some old people are oppressed by the fear of death. In the young, there is a justification for this feeling. Young men who have reason to fear that they will be killed in battle may justifiably feel bitter in the thought that they have been cheated of the best things that life has to offer. But in an old man who has known human joys and sorrows and has achieved whatever work it was in him to do, the fear of death is somewhat abject and ignoble. The best way to overcome it, so at least it seems to me, is to make your interests gradually wider and more impersonal, until bit by bit the walls of the ego recede and your life becomes increasingly merged in the universal life. An individual human existence should be like a river, small at first, narrowly contained within its banks, and rushing passionately past boulders and over waterfalls. Gradually the river grows wider, the banks recede, the waters flow more quietly, and in the end, without any visible break, they become merged in the sea, and painlessly lose their individual being. The man who, in old age, can see his life in this way, will not suffer from the fear of death, since the things he cares for will continue. And if, with the decay of vitality, weariness increases, the thoughts of rest will be not unwelcome. I should wish to die while still at work, knowing that others will carry on what I can no longer do, and content in the thought that what was possible has been done.
Now the passage will be read again. How to grow old. Some old people are oppressed by the fear of death. In the young, there is a justification for this feeling. Young men who have reason to fear that they will be killed in battle may justifiably feel bitter in the thought that they have been cheated of the best things that life has to offer. But in an old man, who has known human joys and sorrows, and has achieved whatever work it was in him to do, the fear of death is somewhat abject and ignoble. The best way to overcome it, so at least it seems to me, is to make your interests gradually wider and more impersonal, until bit by bit the walls of the ego recede, and your life becomes increasingly merged in the universal life. An individual human existence should be like a river, small at first, narrowly contained within its banks, and rushing passionately past boulders and over waterfalls. Gradually, the river grows wider, the banks recede, the water flow more quietly, and in the end, without any visible break, they become merged in the sea and painlessly lose their individual being. The man who in old age can see his life in this way will not suffer from the fear of death, since the things he cares for will continue. And if, with the decay of vitality, weariness increases, the thoughts of rest will be not unwelcome. I should wish to die while still at work, knowing that others will carry on what I can no longer do, and content in the thought that what was possible has been done.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. How to grow old. Some old people are oppressed by the fear of death. In the young, there is a justification for this feeling. Young men who have reason to fear that they will be killed in battle may justifiably feel bitter in the thought that they have been cheated of the best things that life has to offer. But in an old man who has known human joys and sorrows and has achieved whatever work it was in him to do, the fear of death is somewhat abject and ignoble. The best way to overcome it, so at least it seems to me, is to make your interests gradually wider and more impersonal, until bit by bit the walls of the ego recede and your life becomes increasingly merged in the universal life. An individual human existence should be like a river, small at first, narrowly contained within its banks, and rushing passionately past boulders and over waterfalls. Gradually the river grows wider, the banks recede, the waters flow more quietly, and in the end, without any visible break, they become merged in the sea, and painlessly lose their individual being. The man who, in old age, can see his life in this way, will not suffer from the fear of death, since the things he cares for will continue. And if, with the decay of vitality, weariness increases, the thoughts of rest will be not unwelcome. I should wish to die while still at work, knowing that others will carry on what I can no longer do, and content in the thought that what was possible has been done.